Pippers on Twitter.
You can tweet her at PJC Hudson.
There's been some very interesting feedback in the past few weeks about progress towards a vaccine for malaria. A trial by scientists at Oxford University reportedly showing 80% protection against the disease in its latest phase of human testing. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to chat about malaria prevention and get a sense of the picture in Southern Africa in particular, and to talk about malaria prophylaxis and answer any questions you might have as well. My guest on the line is Dr. Alan Peter, who is a principal specialist at Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital up in Gauteng, and is also a great bush lover who spends a lot of his time immersed in bush travel. So obviously that gives him a very keen personal interest in the topic of malaria prevention as well. Alan, it's great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Lovely, Pippa. Nice to talk to people down in Cape Town. I feel this is almost like an international phone call.
This is a different country, some would say, Alan. So you're welcome, and you don't need a visa to join us. I mean, it's easy for us to get a bit blasé about malaria down here in the Cape because we're miles away from any high-risk areas. But anybody who travels regularly into the bush knows this really is something you cannot ignore, Alan. It's hundreds of thousands of deaths every year, not so?
Indeed. So let's first have a look at some of the stats, and we'll talk about the malaria life cycle. Yep. This latest vaccine, the article that appeared in the Lancet Disease of Infectious Diseases, the Lancet right. Journal. So malaria is in 87 countries worldwide, and there are 4 billion people at risk. There are 240 million cases occurred in the world last year, and 94% occurred in sub-Saharan Africa. There were 409,000 deaths worldwide, and 90% of those deaths are again in Southern Africa. 61% of all those deaths were children under the age of 5.
Yeah.
And when a child gets malaria, they can be dead if it's not picked up. If it becomes severe, they can be dead in 48 to 72 hours
yeah.
from the onset of symptoms. Currently in South Africa, malaria is found, 62% of all cases are found in the Limpopo province. That's followed by Mpumalanga, 32%, and in KZN in 6%. So those, as you say, it's all the northern territories and very far from Cape Town. And it's mainly the rainy and the summer months, peaking in January and April. And at Barrow, we begin to see malaria patients from patients coming back who've gone to visit their families in Mozambique.
Yeah.
So July and August are probably your safest months if you're going to go to the Kruger Park. 90% of malaria in Southern Africa is from Plasmodium falciparum. The other malaria strains, Vivax, Malariae, and Ovale, are only 10%, and they don't cause as much death as falciparum does. The reason why that happens is when the malaria parasite goes into the red blood cell, there are little, what we call little sticky knobs, which begin to form in the red blood cell membrane. And when the red blood cell, which is it's almost like a gymnastic cell, it's got to really bend and twist and turn as it gets forced through very, very small capillaries. Those sticky knobs begin to attract other red cells, and they stick together, and we call that crenation. And what happens is those small vessels actually get blocked, which means you're not supplying blood to the organs where the red cells are sent. And these very fine blood vessels occur in the kidney, and that's why malaria patients can very easily go into renal failure. They occur in the brain, and that's why we call it cerebral malaria. So it's, and then, of course, if it happens in the lungs, then they wind up being on a ventilator. And these are the three areas of the body which you have vital organs being starved of blood, and they will kill you quickly. And that's why the word malaria, which comes from two Latin words, malus, meaning bad, and that's where malignancy comes from,
yeah.
and aria, meaning air. So it was bad air. People thought that you died because you were in an area of bad air. Mm. So this is why malaria can kill you so quickly. Now, most of the malaria deaths are in young children, and that's primarily because after 3 or 4 months, they lose any immunity that the mother gives them. And that's why we start the whole vaccine program from about 3 months of age. And the other population that is very at risk for getting malaria are pregnant women.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is in pregnancy, pregnant women generate more heat than if you're not pregnant, because you're working twice as hard. You've got a little baby that you've got to supply blood to and breathe for as well. And mosquitoes are exquisitely sensitive in picking up heat and carbon dioxide. So they are attracted to pregnant women because they're giving off more heat.
Interesting.
Also, we know the fact, and we speak about this colloquially, our husband and wives tease each other and they say, oh, the mosquito is attracted to him or her.
Yes.
And I need to get, or I eat garlic, therefore. So the human being is able to, the mosquito can pick up 105 different chemical attractants that are secreted by humans. And so, depending on your genetic makeup, you might actually be secreting attractants that the mosquitoes prefer over someone else. And so that's why there is a preference amongst humans. But don't think that you will never get bitten, because if you're the only person around, the mosquito will take you.
You as the second best option on the menu.
Exactly. So let's look now at the malaria cycle and why it's been so hard to develop a vaccine against malaria all these years. So the mosquito only transmits malaria from another human being to another human being. Malaria is not born in the mosquito. And it's the female Anopheles gambiae mosquito that bites you.
Yeah.
And the only reason why it's a female is because she's looking for iron to make her eggs. And she gets that from our red blood cells.
Yeah.
So if you have no people with malaria and you've got lots of mosquitoes, malaria is not going to take place. So if we can get people not to have malaria, the mosquitoes can't transfer it. So the malaria will take blood from a patient who has malaria, go and bite someone else, and as it bites them, it injects saliva and regurgitates the malaria parasite that they've got from the person that they've bitten previously into you, or let's say into person B. That then travels to the liver and multiplies in the liver and changes its form. It comes out of the liver and then multiplies in the red blood cells, and the red blood cells secrete another form into the blood, and that a fourth form called a gametocyte is then taken up by another bite from a mosquito where the sexual cycle is completed. So to find a vaccine, A, you're dealing with a parasite which is much more complex than a virus.
Yeah.
It's like comparing a human being with a cabbage. Secondly, you've got this thing which is changing shape and form quite quickly in the body, hiding in the liver, hiding in the red blood cell. And so it's very difficult to keep a static target in which you can apply a vaccine.
Yeah.
So the first vaccine that came out, work was started in 1987 by GlaxoSmithKline and the Bill Gates Foundation, and it was called the RTSS vaccine. That, again, got official approval in October last year, and that seemed to have about 30% efficacy in decreasing the death rate.
Okay.
It works mainly in young children, and under the age of 2, it was 50% effective in preventing malaria. By the time you got to age 4, that efficacy was only 36%, and after the age of 4, the efficacy of this early vaccine, or earlier, I'm saying 2021, was 28%. Then came the Oxford scientists, and they developed the R21 vaccine.
Yeah.
And that was rolled out in a study of 409 children in Burkina Faso. And what they did is they gave a dose every 4 weeks for 12 weeks. So they got three doses. And then a year later, they got a fourth dose. And what they found is they got 80% protection from children from the age of 5 to 17 months. How is this vaccine made? Well, the first vaccine, the RTS vaccine, was a combination of the hepatitis B antigen linked to an adjuvant, which was a protein from the sporozoite. So they took the part of the malaria form that develops in the blood that gets to the liver that the mosquito puts into you. They took that part of that protein and combined it with the hepatitis B antigen, and they made the first vaccine, which was called Mosquirix, the RTSS vaccine. What they've done in Oxford is they've ditched the hepatitis B antigen and they've taken the same protein from the sporozoite and combined that with a protein that's made from soap bark trees, which aggressively stimulates the immune system. So this is one way in which vaccine development helps further vaccines. Now, in getting malaria, the odd thing is that people might phone in and say, but I've been living in Zambia for years and years and years, and I've never had malaria. It takes, on that average, about 5 bites before the mosquito gets the right parts that they're looking for and gets blood from you.
Okay.
If for some reason that mosquito is disturbed, it might have already injected the malaria parasite into you but missed completely, and it's sitting in your tissues. And you get a number of these bites, your body starts to produce antibodies, and eventually you're immune to malaria and you actually never get it. But these people, when they're in a malaria area, they will be immune for against malaria up to 3 months if they leave the area. If they leave the area for more than 3 months and they go back, the danger they face is they still think that they're immune to malaria and don't take any prophylaxis, get a fever and think, well, this is not malaria, and you can die very quickly with falciparum.
Yeah.
We see patients turn color and go southwards within days of the fever setting in. So we're very aggressive up here about looking for malaria and treating malaria.
Yeah. Alan, I lost an acquaintance at university to cerebral malaria, and that was the thing I was going to say. What was just staggering about it was how quickly it happened. You know, he was absolutely fine one day, and 3 days later he was gone. It was just an extraordinarily fast progress of the disease, and a very scary one to watch. Rosie, our listener, asking a very important question, and I'm so glad you brought this up, Rosie, because it's one thing to be able to go on holiday to the bush for a week or so and take your prophylaxis and come home again, but what about people who are living in malaria areas full time? Rosie says, I've got 2 sons who are working in malaria areas and cannot live on prophylactics long term. What are their options? Are we anywhere nearer to vaccinations for adults?
Well, this vaccination, the R21, I'm sure is going to be rolled out for adults as well, because if it's working, the vaccine, the RTS first vaccine, was used for children and was more efficacious in children. The other thing is, you know, once you've had malaria, you will build up immunity to malaria. So the more times you get malaria and get it treated, eventually you won't have to be on a prophylaxis because your body will have made immunity, its own immunity. It's just that if you leave that malaria area for more than 3 months, you're at risk of exposing yourself when you go back in.
Yeah.
If we look at prophylaxis, the major areas that we can, the major drugs that we usually use, but some of them are contraindicated in certain classes of people. So doxycycline is one, but that's contraindicated in pregnancy and in young children. Another one that we use is mefloquine, which is mainly recommended for pregnant women, and then Malonyl, which we use for adults. So if you're going to the Kruger Park, you can take either doxycycline or Malonyl. Now, the reasons why, doxycycline is a shed load cheaper than Malonyl.
Yeah.
So doxycycline, you will take a couple of 1 or 2 days before you leave, and you will take doxycycline for a month on your return. And the reason for that is doxycycline can't attack the stage in the liver. And it takes about a month for the malaria to multiply itself and wash itself out into the blood. So the doxycycline is on board for a month. Malonyl you can take daily and only for 7 days afterwards when you come back, not the 28, because Malonyl actually attacks the malaria stage in the liver. It gets to the liver, whereas doxycycline can't. The disadvantage only then is the length of stay, the time that you're going to take the doxy, and of course the cost.
Yeah.
The mefloquine you can take, you might have some weird dreams, and obviously if you have some, there's a very rare incidence of psychiatric disturbance as well, but that you can take weekly and once weekly for 4 weeks when you get back. In terms of non-drug, so again, if you're saying that we're living on on drugs all the time, you must use DEET. And it must be a minimum 30% concentration of DEET. Citronella oil does work, but you have to apply that regularly. You've got to apply that for every 3 or 4 hours. You can't, citronella doesn't last as long as DEET does. So, and the rest of the other, you know, homeopathic stuff, I wouldn't go for. In fact, citronella, in fact, has been taken off the European list of recommendations. So get a DEET spray. Don't spray it into your face, onto your mucous membranes. You can spray it onto your hands and maybe wipe it onto your face. Wear long clothing. Wear light-colored clothing. Mosquitoes prefer darker clothing. And between dawn and dusk, you can use nets as well, yep. Insecticide impregnated nets to keep the mozzies off you. Also, the advantage of taking doxycycline, if you can, is that the treatment for tick bite fever as well, 100 BD. So I, if you can take it, I use doxycycline, and you can kill maybe two mosquitoes with one pill.
Two bugs,
one mosquito and a tick.
Alan, thanks. It's been a fascinating conversation, and you've done such a good job of explaining why it's been so difficult to develop a vaccine. I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us on the show.
You're most welcome.
Dr. Alan Peter, Principal Specialist at Chris Hani Baragwanath up in Gauteng.